Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
It's Here and Now. One of the more bizarre coincidences in the ongoing mystery of missing Malaysia Airlines Flight 370 is the fact that CNN airline and aviation correspondent Richard Quest met with the co-pilot, First Officer Farik Abdul Hamid, in February, about a month before the plane disappeared. This was part of a taping for a piece that hasn't aired yet that Richard was doing for CNN Business Traveler. We want to ask Richard about that and the investigation. He joins us now. And what was your reaction when you heard that the co-pilot of the missing plane was someone you'd flown with? You were in the cockpit.
It was really quite extraordinary because it came about on the Friday, Saturday, I can't remember exactly. We were starting to go into high gear to cover this crisis. And all of a sudden, I'd just gone home and I got an email from the duty editor in Atlanta saying, "You knew the co-pilot." I said, "No, not that I was aware of." I knew that I'd filmed on Malaysian Airlines 3 weeks earlier, and I knew I had a fairly good insight about the airline and the CEO because we were doing a story about them. Anyway, it transpires that Farik Hamid had posted one of the pictures of himself and myself in the cockpit on the flight deck, and somebody else had seen it and tweeted it, and in the nature of these events, that's how it was. But it was quite a shock to look at the picture and to think that I had sat behind watching him land a 777 only a matter of weeks earlier. And in fact, to that point, Robin, in my cell phone, when he did the landing, I've still got the cell phone video of him doing the landing.
Well, was there anything that you picked up from your time spent watching this co-pilot during a training session? He was being trained, young, did not have near as many hours or as much experience as the pilot he ultimately flew the missing plane with. But was there anything that you picked up from your time in that cockpit that later set off alarms? Any line that you drew?
The truth is no. He was charming. I was more concerned, frankly, that we had a relatively inexperienced first officer doing a landing with CNN sitting in the back filming.
Well, and others might say it maybe was not wise. Does that reflect anything about the airline itself? Or was there anything in your reporting? You say you were doing the report on Malaysia Air and the CEO. Was there anything about the airline that jumps out at you now?
No, absolutely nothing. Malaysia Airlines is a robust airline. It's been around for many years. It has an excellent reputation both for service and for safety. The issues we were looking at had nothing to do with these. They are the question of how Malaysia is finding a competitive advantage against the Gulf 3, Qatar, Emirates and Etihad on the one hand, and the low-cost carriers like Air Asia, which is based in Kuala Lumpur as well.
Well, so you say you had there was nothing that you picked up from flying with the co-pilot, but then we heard reports, saw the pictures on CNN, that he had invited two female passengers to sit in the cockpit during an earlier flight. That seems highly unusual and unsafe.
Firstly, I don't believe he did it himself. It would have been the captain's decision. Now, look, what was going on when they chose to let those young Australian ladies? If I was hazarding a guess, because Malaysia does have very strict cockpit regulations, if I was hazarding a guess, I would say they saw two pretty women. They were flying down to Australia or wherever, and they said, "Oh, let's have a, you know, let's invite them up to the cockpit. It'll be something to
amuse
us during the flight."
Post 9/11, a lot of people are shaking their heads about that.
No, now you see, post 9/11, at one level, yes, the United States has an extremely high level of cockpit integrity to the point where when a member of the flight crew comes off the flight deck, a flight attendant goes on board. There's a cart that's put in front of the flight deck. I can tell you that most international airlines do not have the same protocols. I can honestly say I've never seen the cockpit door left open on any airline, but I've certainly been invited to the cockpit for some airlines in previous years. There's still a culture in many airlines that the captain is in charge. It's the captain's ship. And if he wishes to invite somebody to the flight deck, then he's entitled to.
Well, Richard, while we have you, aviation reporter for CNN, What do you make of the latest news? Now, Andy Pastor of the Wall Street Journal has been reporting since last Friday that for Flight 370 to make this turn, it would have to be programmed into a computer. The New York Times seems to be reporting today that their sources say that that turn was programmed into the computer. It's not clear whether the plane's path was reprogrammed before or after the plane took off. That seems to be the latest tick today. Having looked at this for the last however many days, what is the one big question you have?
I've heard every theory in the last week, some of which are barking mad, some of which are just dishonest, and some of this are just unrealistic. But it really does come down to two fundamental differences. On the one hand, either the pilots or somebody else took control of the aircraft for nefarious means, and it's crashed or it's somewhere. But on the other side of the spectrum, you have a mechanical fault or you have a serious issue with the aircraft, which ultimately overwhelms the pilots and the plane crashes. Now, I have seen nothing in the evidence of what we've been told that leads me one way or the other. But don't be fooled by what you've heard. You've heard the Malaysian authorities talk about deliberate acts. And I keep coming back to this argument again and again. Yes, the plane turned round, but did it turn round at the point of a gun? Or did it turn round because the captain, realising there was a major fault or there was something dramatically wrong with his aircraft, tried to turn back to get back to Kuala Lumpur, to get back to ground? We don't know.
Richard Quest, CNN airline and aviation correspondent. Thank you.
Thank you.
So we asked on Facebook, what questions do you still have about Flight 370? Obviously, there are many. Mark Smith wants to know, why can't passengers' iPhones be pinged? Greg Hodge writes, my iPhone can be located in a heartbeat, but we can't seem to locate a plane with today's technology. It seems fishy. Well, the New York Times took up some of these questions, at least about phones. Vincent Lau, an electronics professor at Hong Kong University of Science and Technology, talked to the Times. He said the plane's altitude, which according to military radar was at one point at 45,000 feet, might have prevented passengers' phones from connecting to base stations. Still, there are so many questions. Also about today's reports of the plane's flight being reprogrammed through the plane's computer. John Hull writes, if the plane was not on radar and tracking systems were turned off, how can they tell that the course was laid in through the onboard computer? Send us your questions at facebook.com/hearandknowradio. We will get answers for you, at least if they are able to be found.